Wonderful. Let's come to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it speaks to us today as it did when it was written. We pray now for open hearts and minds to hear what you want to say through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do there are loads of wonderful, life-changing, future-giving realities of the resurrection. We've looked at a number of them since Easter. And today we're going to look at a resurrection reality which I think is so really important. It's also really special, but I think sometimes we don't get how special it is. Today I want to look at how, because of the resurrection, we have the reality of being able to be a community together. A community together. I want to look at what that should mean for us as individuals, but also as that community of gathered people, those who follow Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, which John read to us, is often entitled The Fellowship of the Believers. And it tells us how the early church began and developed, how they went about being church, and what they did to live out as church, as community together. It's not only historically interesting, I mean it is that of course, but it's also helpful for us to know, because of course there will be some things that we can learn about how the early Christians lived out church as community together, as we ourselves seek to apply this to us here at Worcester Baptist Church. What does church being community together look like for us as a reality of the resurrection? And of course, in our case, it's about being an inclusive community together. I would imagine if you've been a Christian for any length of time, this is a familiar passage to you. But to just put it into some context, Jesus has ascended into heaven. And just before doing so, he gives his disciples a really important task: to spread his message, to spread his gospel, his good news. And in doing so, to make more disciples and have them baptized. But they aren't on their own. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to come upon his disciples in a pretty dramatic way, as we looked at a few weeks ago when we looked at Pentecost. The Apostle Peter then preaches an amazing sermon in Jerusalem to a large group of people who were there for a festival. And then the church begins to grow, with more and more folk becoming followers of Jesus and increasing this community of believers, increasing the church. Then in our passage today, we hear how that group of believers goes about being a community together. Looking at this passage of just a few verses, we can see there's a lot that we can pick out. This speaks of community. This speaks of togetherness, of what they were doing in living out that resurrection reality of being a community together. So if you've got your Bibles open, you might just want to glance down, because in verse 42, we see they devoted themselves to fellowship. Verse 44, they were together and had everything in common. Verse 45, they gave to anyone who had need, helping others within that community. Verse 46, they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread and ate together in each other's houses. And then in verse 47, as we've been doing this morning, They praised God together. There's no doubt that this was a close-knit community, one that met regularly, studied with each other, prayed together, were generous with their possessions, cared about those who were in need, and helped and supported them. This was a really hospitable bunch. You know, I often talk and have done in my more than nine years now here, I often talk about how I very much see this church here at Worcester Baptist Church as just simply one large friendly family. And what we read here in Acts 2 gives that same kind of sense. A family meeting and living together. Not as some strange commune, but rather as a close-knit community together. And that was brought about as one of the realities of the resurrection. Now verses 42, 44, 46, each stress that the community made a point of meeting together and spending time together. It's good. And it's healthy as a community for us to spend time together. Just to simply enjoy each other's company. And that also, of course, helps us to get to know each other better. Remember the words from Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. We heard them last week, actually, when Deb spoke to us. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It is good, it is also important that we meet together, not giving up on doing so. That we meet together and in doing so, encourage one another. Oh my goodness, isn't it so helpful for those moments where perhaps our faith is challenged or we've got issues ongoing, to meet with others and have them encourage us. It's important that we meet together and be community together. And look, folks, obviously we do that when we come together for services like this on a Sunday. And sharing a cuppa afterwards, all of which is important. Of course it is. But there are other times and other occasions when we can do that and develop relationships. We saw a lot of that yesterday, as we came together to work together to put on something for the community. Next week, I've already said, we've got Sharing Sunday, our monthly time where we have lunch together afterwards. Sharing with each other over the meal table. I can tell you that in September, our intention is to do something similar, but middle of the month, to have an international Sunday. We've got so many different nationalities now. We're going to come together and we're going to have an international lunch together. A number of people, in fact over 50, have booked to share time on a Saturday and Sunday in October together. Our church weekend together. We have other socials. We've got a social booked for the 30th of November, which you'll hear more about shortly. So there are all sorts of occasions where we can come together, not as a commune, but as a group of people sharing time together. One thing we've tried to do in recent years, although not with much success recently, is we've tried to develop the house groups, or connect groups as we decided to call them. It's a shame it hasn't been successful, because in that smaller group context, you really get to know people even better and can support them even better. Maybe that's something we need to explore again in the future. But until then, it would be good to make the most of all opportunities to share together, to learn together, fellowship together, sharing communion together, but also praying together, which is particularly important. And it's been great to see this regular pattern on a Monday morning at 8 o'clock for an hour, or a Thursday evening at 7:30, just for half an hour, people coming together on Zoom. We pray regularly. And I'd encourage you, if you don't normally come along to either of those, Come along tomorrow morning. You don't have to stay for the hour, just stay for 10 minutes. Come along, let's be praying together. And the other notable feature, I think, of this early church community in Acts, as we read in verse 45, is they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This was a community who sought to help each other and others who were in need, which, of course, is at the heart of the Christian message. It's at the heart of what being Christian is all about, loving and helping each other, spending time together and helping each other. That sounds like an attractive community to me. But here's the rub, folks. For community to fully work correctly, then we all need to play our part in that. We shouldn't expect to simply be part of the community together without doing something to help it function, to help it grow, to help it flourish, to help it be what it could be. One of the commentaries I have on Acts is by the New Testament professor Matt Skinner. And he says in his commentary on this passage, the idea of community, and some of you will recognize this no doubt in yourselves, the idea of community simultaneously attracts and repels most of us. We long for the life-affirming benefits that community can bestow, but we resist the demands that community makes. In the context of that quote, let me reread verse 42 again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You know, we use this word fellowship a lot in churches, don't we? I have to be honest, before I became a Christian, I became a Christian quite old. Well, I was 32, I suppose that's not too old, really. Late in life, I had never really used this word fellowship. You know, the Greek word that we use for fellowship, as some of you I'm sure will know, is koinonia. And it's got a sense of deep, intimate sharing in community, but also a sense of participation, contribution, sharing in the activities of that community. Koinonia. It's not just getting together for a cup of tea. It's more than that. It's actively being involved. So it's important that we all think how we can best serve this community together, this church community to which we're part of, how we can give generously of our time, our energy, our money. We all need to participate, to contribute, to play our part. And that will help to truly bring about this particular resurrection reality of a community together. There's no doubt that, I suggest most of us contribute in some way, in different ways to this community, as wonderfully demonstrated yesterday. And that's great. But let me challenge all of us this morning to think about what else might God be calling you to do to help us be a community together. So for example, let me give a few examples. Could you help on a Sunday serving tea and coffee? We all welcome and love that mug of coffee on the way in as well as on the way out. Could you help with the PA that Andy's doing today, the laptop that Susanna's doing? Could you do the reading like John did? Could you help organise a sharing Sunday? We got a small team that put together all our lunches on a sharing Sunday. And if you don't think you could do that, maybe, and this is a real request, right, I'm being serious for a second. This is a real request. We'd love it if there could just be a few people who, after a sharing Sunday, could help just stay for a bit longer and help clear up. He'll help wash up. The poor guys, they stay in there all morning preparing the meal. At the moment, they're all having to stay and then clear up. If we could just have a little team that would help, that would help us to be community together. Many of us value that opportunity to have lunch together. And of course, during the week, Lunch Club always welcomes new helpers. The family space, every other week, after school's club. Little Angels would always welcome some people to help on a Thursday morning, our toddler club. Do chat with me if God is prompting you to help out in any of those ways. To kind of paraphrase Lord Kitchener from World War I, your church community needs you. There are many ways that we can seek to be a community together. But it's also really, really important that we don't become so settled with ourselves as a community that we forget that there is more to what we're about, or at least there should be. I want to quote Matt Skinner again from his commentary. He says, "Do not assume that this passage celebrates community or the church for its own sake. The community of faith, that's us folks, the community of faith exists as an extension of the ascended Lord Jesus' commitment to bring salvation to the world. And goodness only knows it needs it right now. It is good that we be community together. It is good that we spend time together. It is good that we be family together. It is good that we seek to be the loving, supportive, generous community like the early church was that we read in Acts chapter 2. But the mission of this church, the mission of the global church, is to see people saved. Is that not correct? Oh, good. We're three of you are going to happily help me with that. That's what we're about. That's why the church exists. Now, let me be honest with you. There is no doubt if we can be a community that is loving and supportive and generous, that in turn will be an attractive community that others might want to find out more about and belong to. It will be us living out our faith in practice by being a community together. And that in itself could lead to what we read in the second half of verse 47 of our reading, where after hearing about the community of those early believers, we read, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Ultimately, that is what we want to see happen. More people coming to know Jesus. More people having their lives turned around for the better by coming to know Jesus. More people having an eternal future of hope because of coming to know Jesus. That's what we're called to do, to bring people to him. But there is no doubt that can and should be assisted by being a community together in the way that we should be, as the early church was, and especially being the inclusive community together that we're seeking to be here. Lots of resurrection realities. We've got a few more weeks to go of them. But let's embrace this resurrection reality of a community together and be a loving, supportive, generous community, and one that seeks to grow that community by being an attractive community, yes, but also fulfilling the great commission to reach others with the gospel of Jesus, being that extension of the ascended Lord Jesus's commitment to bring salvation to the world, as Matt Skinner puts it. We don't always have to do things in any part of life, but especially in church life, because that's how it's always been done in the past. But the early church's commitment to meeting together, to being community together, is a good example set, which I believe the church of today should seek to follow. And thanks to the resurrection, it can happen. Despite us being so different to each other in so many ways. I look out, I see a whole load of different people, shapes and sizes, jobs, all sorts of people here. We are a motley bunch, but God calls us together as community. So despite us being so different, we can still be a community together. My hope, my prayer, is that we can all commit to being that community. Commit to meeting together, sharing together, praising together, loving together. That's my heart for us as a community. And just in a moment of prayer, I'm going to invite you to do that, to commit to being part of this community here at Worcester Baptist Church. So I'm going to pray, and part of that prayer, I'm going to invite you at some point to stand, to register your commitment to this community. And if you're at home, you can stand too. Let's pray. Father, it's a wonderful book, Acts, to read how your early church began, how it grew, how it spread. And Lord, as we read here in this familiar passage, that sense of committing to each other, of committing to be with each other and encourage each other, to spur each other on. Father, I thank you that this church, this year, would have been here 366 years. Different people committing to being a community together. And Father, we want to commit ourselves to this church. Lord, I just invite all those who want to commit to this church, to be in community together, to stand with me now. Father, this is your church. This is the group of people you've called together for this time here at Worcester Baptist Church. And we stand together to commit to you, to commit to each other, and to commit to your message as we seek to grow your kingdom. And Father, may we be stirred by you today to enact that commitment. In Jesus' name, amen. Please feel free to take your seats. And just before Malcolm comes back up, I just want to remind parents, if you've got any of your children out at the Ignite groups, better go and collect them now.